Reproductive health clinics that provide abortions popped up in Pittsburgh after the Supreme Court guaranteed the right to an abortion in 1973. The clinics attracted people who needed abortions and other health services, but they also became magnets for anti-abortion protesters. 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins looks at how protests in Pittsburgh became a model for other demonstrations across the country.
Some call them reproductive health clinics, but protesters like Kathy Laszlo call them abortuaries. She's standing outside the Planned Parenthood in downtown Pittsburgh on a rainy Friday morning this summer.
I found a song by Seals and Croft called Unborn Child. It was released a year after Roe versus Wade.
She's 56 and lives in the North Hills. She volunteers for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, an anti-abortion rights group. She played this song for another volunteer during their shift.
I thought, wow, this is kind of like what we do. You know, we're trying to say, stop, you know, think it over, you know. There's help around, you know.
Laszlo has been volunteering outside of clinics for the last 4 years. Her job is to talk to women who are on their way to Planned Parenthood and tell them that there are other places they can go.
Hi, could I offer you some free help, dear? We have free services. Miss? Birth control? Oh, okay. I have something for you, too.
Okay.
If you've never read it.
I talked to her for a while.
Yeah, a little bit. But my goal wasn't achieved because she went in.
Her success rate for changing women's minds is really low, so her faith in God is what keeps her going. It's also what motivated her to get involved with anti-abortion rights activism in the first place. These days, the anti-abortion rights movement relies heavily on people like Laszlo, and an evangelical pastor from Pittsburgh is one of the reasons why. Pastor Keith Tusey started a small church called Word and Worship in North Braddock in 1982.
Our group was like six people. That's what we had.
His sermons focused a lot on what the Bible said about abortion. Soon, his words turned into action, and he led protests with members of his congregation outside clinics.
We were out on the streets in Pittsburgh. We just didn't have media coverage.
That would change soon. In May of 1987, he crossed paths with an activist named Randall Terry. Terry was the leader of an anti-abortion group called Operation Rescue. The group got attention for clinic protests in other states.
He said, you've got to do something to send a message. And as a result, in the city of Pittsburgh, we had one of the largest rescue movements across the country. You know, it broke loose. It just became a phenomenon.
Tusey started an Operation Rescue chapter in Pittsburgh, and over the next few years, Operation Rescue and Tusey's church held rallies with protesters numbering in the thousands.
I think what made it so successful is we reframed the question. We made it about Jesus and the Bible and his intentions for mankind.
Tusey says the tactics that Operation Rescue used were always peaceful, but newspaper archives from the Pittsburgh Press and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette detail stories of anti-abortion rights protesters coating the floors of a downtown clinic in tar and blocking the doors to a clinic with a car.
It was so overwhelming to everybody.
This is Claire Keyes. She was the director of the Allegheny Reproductive Health Center for decades. Operation Rescue protested outside her clinic. She says they blocked the doors and made it impossible for anyone to get in or out of the building. Other tenants couldn't get to their offices. Doctors couldn't get into the clinic. Patients would wait at a nearby McDonald's until city services cleared the protesters.
And we would tell them, you will be seen, because some of them would say, well, I'll just go home and come back. And, well, it could be just like this the next time you come. And we promise you that once they're cleared, we will see every single patient.
Sometimes police arrested more than 100 protesters in a day. Protesters would refuse to give their names or move, and police had to carry them away from clinic doors. Tusey estimates he's been arrested over 15 times in Pittsburgh.
There was a soft underbelly there we knew we could exploit, and we did, and that's what got us sued, because we were hurting their business, and that was a wonderful thing to us.
Keyes says the disruption eventually forced them to relocate.
That landlord said, I'm pro-choice, but goodbye.
Other anti-abortion groups around the country noticed Pittsburgh and adopted similar tactics. Tusey himself went from being the leader of a six-member congregation to his current state of traveling to churches across the country and around the world. Tusi believes that part of the reason for that is videos that were filmed in Pittsburgh were watched throughout the country. They were made so other groups could learn effective protest tactics from Tusi's group. Keyes acknowledges that the strategies used in Pittsburgh spread elsewhere. And she says those cities also look to the city of Pittsburgh for advice about how to handle those protests.
And then those cities looked back to Pittsburgh like, okay, we want to learn from you. How did you deal with them? Who did you have to get into the process?
While all of this happened in Pittsburgh, lawmakers in Harrisburg were busy too. They created some of the most extreme abortion legislation in the country. Here's Sue Fritchie at the Women's Law Project.
The 1988 and 1989 Abortion Control Acts were a set of regulations that were designed specifically to get to the Supreme Court so that Pennsylvania would be the state that resulted in the overruling of Roe.
That didn't happen, but in just a few years, Pennsylvania would become a model for anti-abortion activists again. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
Tune in tomorrow to hear how the landmark Supreme Court case from Pennsylvania, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, changed abortion access across the country.